Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Joshua. In the 24th chapter, as we near the end of the book of Judges, and we hear of the people of Israel renewing their covenant to God, beginning with verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. Now, therefore, revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the rivers and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Then he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our mission statement here at Hollywood United Methodist Church is knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. We are journeying through this mission statement, and today we come to the word in the middle, and. Now, and for many people sort of seems like it's probably a little bit of a throwaway word in the mission statement, one that we could have easily gotten rid of. And in fact, I will admit, I had contemplating suggesting getting rid of this and maybe just putting a comma between the two phrases, knowing Jesus and making Jesus known, myself. But then I came to this realization that the word "and" is actually really important and needs to be included. And I'll tell you why, but we're going to get there in a very circular way through the story of Joshua today. So we hear this story from Joshua, and chapter 24 is the last chapter in the book of Joshua. All that's left is for a couple people to die off at the end. That finishes the chapter. All right, so we've basically come to the end of the book of Joshua. And there's been a lot that has happened. in Joshua's story and leadership of the Israelite people. Joshua is the one who is commissioned to take over leading the people as Moses is getting towards the end of his leadership. Moses knows as he brings the people to the edge of the River Jordan, as they're about to enter the Promised Land, that he, Moses, cannot enter the Promised Land himself, but must stay back and not cross the river. But he knows the people will need a leader as they enter this new phase of their journey with God. So Joshua is the one who is commissioned to lead the people. So Joshua leads the people across the river and through their conquests in the Promised Land, including the story that we all know about Jericho and the walls of Jericho falling. That is under Joshua's leadership. Joshua helps the people conquer large sections of the land and make for themselves this home in the land that God has promised them. So there's been a lot that has happened under Joshua's leadership, and there has been a lot that has happened since God chose the Israelite people, and much of that is rehearsed in those 10 verses we didn't read in the middle of Joshua chapter 24. So if you want to see the summary version of what has happened from Abraham to where the people are as we encounter them in Joshua's story today, you can read the quick version in those 10 verses 3 through 13, that Joshua has in his speech to tell the people what their relationship with God has been. Joshua starts that out, as we read, not with Abraham, but with Abraham's father, reminding the people that they were once a people of other gods before Abraham was chosen by their God. God chose Abraham and Abraham's descendants. God chose a people. And God has, by extension of salvation through Jesus Christ, chosen us. After reciting their history with God, Joshua reminds his audience of the great and marvelous things that God has done for the people that God chose. Joshua reminds people that they have a choice to make now. They have been freed from slavery in Egypt. They have wandered through the wilderness. They have entered the promised land and established themselves a home. Now they must choose once again whether they will trust in God or turn aside. Verses 14 through 24, more than a dozen times, the people are challenged to serve or vow to serve the Lord. This service of God includes the total exclusion of other gods. This is following what was set out in the first of the Ten Commandments, to serve God and God alone. Now that seems simple enough, but theologian Ralph Klein put his finger on the gaping hole that we often forget about. He says, few of us are tempted by any gods of other nations or any gods of other names. But as Martin Luther made clear in his explanation of the first commandment, anything one fears, loves, and trusts above everything else, whether it is riches, self, prestige, or something else, is one's God. We all serve many gods. We want to put God first, and we even say that we commit to this, but it's really hard to live out well. St. Augustine came at it from a different way. He said this. He said, love God and do what you want. Here's what he meant by saying that. If you love God, then you necessarily live in such a way that all that you do is for God and following God's ways. You want what God wants. Joshua's audience is not deterred in choosing God as their one and only, even when they hear that there are consequences if they falter or waver. They promise, "We will serve the Lord." Now, the word serve, as it's translated in this passage from the original Hebrew, doesn't just have one meaning. The word that's translated serve in Hebrew can rightly be translated in about four different ways: to serve, to worship, to show loyalty toward, or to obey. Obedience to God, worship of God, exclusive loyalty to God, and being in service to God is what the people are committing to. There's no half-hearted option available. When the Israelites mess up, when they choose a different God, when we mess up, when we choose a different God, it doesn't matter which other God we might have chosen. There is a broken bond between us and the one true God. So I wonder, is God always first in our lives, or do we in fact serve other gods, whether by sins of omission or sins of commission? I don't think I need to remind you. We sin daily, and sin damages our relationship with God. Joshua is telling his audience, in effect, that they should not put God to the test or take God's forgiveness for granted. And that's still good advice for us today. We know that God has been made known to us through Jesus Christ, who teaches forgiveness of sin. But we must never think that God owes us forgiveness, for it is a gift that is given to us without price. Forgiveness is extended to us with the hope and the expectation that such displays of God's love will lead to transformation. It will lead to renewal of our lives. It will encourage our growing faith and spur us on to faith that acts out of the love that we have received. I hope that our faith is not based only on what God has done for us lately, but on God's track record since the beginning with Israel, and that has continued throughout the history of the church. I hope that we are not just moved and empowered by what God has done for us recently, but by how God has been with us generation upon generation. And that by the example of God and the keepers of the faith in the past, we are once again able to choose to serve God. Through reverence and obedience to God, we give God thanks for the generous gifts of life everlasting and freedom from sin, which God has granted to us. You know, it's a good thing for our future as God's people that it doesn't depend upon our sincerity, our faithfulness, and our obedience to God's word alone, but rather that this depends on God, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, God's power, God's word, God's transforming ability, and God's willingness to renew our lives. We are not compelled to choose God, but we, like the people of Joshua's day, make a conscious choice to serve God and God alone. People being addressed by Joshua in the crowd gathered before him, they hadn't always been in an exclusive relationship with God, but they chose God anyway. We too have not always been in an exclusive relationship with God our whole lives long. There are points before which we chose God. But we choose God. And as we choose God, we're choosing the and. You can work on the knowing Jesus part without having to choose God. You can learn about Jesus as a historical figure without ever having to believe in Jesus. You can take all the Christian education classes in the world and know everything there might be to know about Jesus. But until you choose Jesus, you are not serving God. And likewise, if you're all about making Jesus known, but haven't taken the time to get to know Jesus, then you're running a really hollow and shallow advertisement for something you don't know much about. In order to hold together both knowing Jesus and making Jesus known, we must choose God and God alone, for He is our God. Because of what God has done for us, we can choose to serve God. But it isn't enough to promise once. We must continue to choose over and over again to serve God. We must continue to hold the tension between knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. We must affirm that we choose God, that we commit to knowing God through acts of obedience, and commit to making Jesus known through service and loving action. We obey and we serve. Now, there is risk in this sort of faith, but it's the only viable way forward I know. So let's take the risk together in profound gratitude of God's graciousness towards us as we commit to knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Amen.